Vanchaka upatarubhyascha kripa sindhu bhayevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Vinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we're going through the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and we were hearing Krishna answer Arjuna's questions about six topics. Arjuna wanted to know about the field of activities.
Arjuna 想要他想知道关于活动场的问题
and about the knower of the field.
还有活动场的知悉者的问题.
Then he also wanted to know about Prakriti and Purush.
他也想知道 Prakriti 自然和 Purush 享受者.
And then he wanted to know about knowledge and the object of knowledge.
接着他还想知道什么是知识，什么是知识的对象.
So Krishna immediately answered. He explained about what is Kshetra, that the body is Kshetra.
然后 Krishna 立即回答了什么是Kshetra，是这个躯体就是Kshetra，活动场.
And then he explained that the knower of the body means that there are two knowers of the body. There is the individual soul and the super soul.
接着 Krishna 又回答了关于 活动场的知悉者，那么活动场的知悉者是什么呢？就是有两个，一个是个体灵魂，还有一个是超灵
Krishna also just explained that knowledge means to understand both the field of activities and the knower of the field of activities.
接着 Krishna 回答了什么是知识，那知识呢，就是指的是对躯体活动场。
And Krishna also said that this knowledge of the field of activities and the knower of the field is described in the Vedic literatures like Vedanta Sutra.
而且Krishna他也解释了说关于活动场的知识和关于活动场的知悉者的知识也在许多诸多的经典里描述了，例如尤其是 Vedanta Sutra.
And then he described the different elements of the body.
接着 Krishna 描述了这个躯体的不同的元素,
which came to 24 different elements.
一共有24种元素,
and 7 different activities of the mind.
其中有七种是关于心意的活动.
And then in text 8 to 12, Lord Krishna describes 18 different qualities which should be cultivated in order to follow the process of knowledge.
那么第八到十二世节呢，讲述了十八种品质，是我们应该培养的品质，以及得到这种知识的程序是什么。And
we made particular reference that the first two are humility and being without pride.
那么最主要的，其中最前面的两项就是最重要的，一个是谦卑和无傲。
Krishna mentions this first of all in describing the process of knowledge. The first thing in the process of knowledge is we must be humble.
那么在关于怎么样去得到这种知识的程序， Krishna 就说到了其中最主要的两项就是谦卑和无傲，这是我们必须要培养的品质。
But the most important of all,
但是,
Prabhupada explains that the most important of all is the accepting a spiritual master.
在所有这些品质当中，最主要的就是要去接近一位真正的灵性导师。
And and cultivating devotional service, constant and unalloyed devotion to Krishna.
而且要培养对 Krishna 永恒的奉献服务，永恒长的培养对 Krishna 的奉献服务。
Now, some of the qualities describe activities in relation to devotional service.
其中的一些品质呢，是跟奉献服务相关的。
For example, cleanliness, steadiness.
例如其中的清洁、坚定。
Non-violent.
非暴力。
Tolerant.
容忍。
One may have these qualities, but may not be a devotee.
可能一个人他具有这些好的品质，但是呢，他可能不是一个奉献者。
So, there will not be any use to him.
所以，那如果是这样的话，那这些即使他具有这些好的品质，对他来说也没什么用处。
So, it's very important that one accepts a spiritual master and inquires from him. And learns how to perform devotional service.
所以最主要的、最重要的一点就是要去接近一位灵性导师，向他寻隐宜兰，怎么样去培养奉献服务，这是最主要的。
The one of the points is that perceiving the evils of birth, death, old age, and disease. One of the qualities is mentioned.
其中的还有一项是认识到生老病死的不幸。
So Srila Prabhupada comments about this.
Srila Prabhupada 在要旨里对这进行了说明。
He had heard how in many countries scientists are given big grants by the government in order to research.How to cure disease and how to stop people aging.
那么帕帕经常说到了，就是政府给那些科学家们给了他们很高的
money,
给了他们很多钱，怎么样去就是去调查、去研究研究生老病死。
Yeah, the scientists are always saying that very soon we're going to stop people from dying.
然后那些科学家们就说很快了。我们就不会让人们再死亡了。
And very soon we will stop people from aging and getting disease.
我们很快了就不会让人变老，不让他们生病。
And in the name of science and research, they take a lot of money.
所以呢，他们以科学家的名义，他们以科学的名义呢，就得到了很多的钱。
So Prabhupada compared this. There's a famous story. It is about one man who was the court jester. It means he was his job was to keep the king happy and to entertain the king. He had a job. There was a king and he kept many people in his service.
那就像是那帕帕嘛，就把这件事情往往比成有一个故事，说有一个国王。他养了一群人，这个人呢，这一群人呢，专门就是为了讨好国王的。
So one time the king requested this man. He said, "You know," he said, "I read the Mahabharata, and the Mahabharata is very great, and it gives great honor to the Pandu king."
然后这个国王呢，就问这个人说：“我读了《Mahabharata》，《Mahabharata》里面这个故事描述了。”这个《马哈巴尔塔》是非常伟大的著作，里面描述里面呢就给这个潘德瓦五兄弟很大的荣誉。
He said everybody knows about these kings because of the Mahabharata.
那么呢，因为《马哈巴尔塔》，所以呢，很多人都知道了这个国王。
So he said, "I want you to write a Mahabharata about me and my family, I'm a king."
所以呢，我就想让你呀写一本关于我这个王国的《马哈巴尔塔》。我想让所有的人都知道我们的家族。
So, this man, his name, this man who was in the service of the king, his name was Gopal Bhan.
那么这个人的名字叫 Gopal Bhan， 他是专门服务这个国王。
So he said, "Oh, he said, well, all right, my dear king, I can do it for you, but it will cost you a lot of money. You have to give me a lot of money."
然后这个人就说，可以啊，国王，我可以为您做这项服务，但是呢，我需要很多钱。
So the king brought a big amount of money and gave it to him.
然后这个国王就给了他一大笔钱。
So then Gopal went away, and for some time he did not come back.
然后这个 Gopal 呢，他就一去不复返了，就不知道跑哪儿去了。
Then after some time, then the king sent for him, and then he said, "Well, how is the Mahabharata coming on? Are you writing the book about me and my family?"
然后呢，后来有一次，然后这个国王呢又找到他了，就说怎么样？关于我们家族的 Mahabharata， 你写的怎么样了？
And he said, "Yes, very good, my dear king. Very good, nearly finished." He said, "Just give me some more money."
然后这个人就说，哎呀，国王，快写完了，马上就写完了，你再给我一些钱吧。
So the king gave some more money.
然后这个国王又给了他一些钱。
So then, after some more time, then the king again called and then asked Gopal, "Have you finished the book yet? Have you written this book about my family?"
过了一段时间呢，这个国王又问这个 Gopal， 就说你这个 Mahabharata 这个著作写完了吗？
And so Gopal said, "Yeah, I've nearly finished. There's just one thing."
然后这个人就说，还有一点点就要写完了，就是一件事儿。
He said, "I just want to know." He said, "How many husbands does your wife have?"
然后这个他就问国王，你到底有多少个妻子呀
？No.、
啊、
How many husbands does your wife have?
哦，那你的妻子有多少个丈夫？他问国王。
So the king was shocked. He said, "What do you mean?" He said, I'm the only husband of my wife."
然后那个国王说，你什么意思？我是我妻子的唯一的丈夫。
But Gopal said, "But the whole theme of the Mahabharat is that Draupadi has five husbands."
但是这个人就回答说 ，Mahabharata 里面的主角那个 Draupadi， 她有五个丈夫。
And the whole Kurukshetra war came about because of the problems with her five husbands.
然后呢，所有的这
The battle of Kurukshetra was fought because of her having this her five husbands.
是因为这个，因为她有了五个丈夫，所以这个才引发了这个 Mahabharata， 才引发了这个 Kurukshetra 之战。
And the theme of the Mahabharata is all about Draupadi, this woman, and she's got five husbands.
然后呢，这个主题呢，就是讲的 Draupadi 她有五个丈夫。
So the Gopal says to the king, "You are such a great king. I'm sure your wife must have many husbands."
然后这个 Gopal 说，对这个国王说，你是这么一个伟大的国王，我想你的妻子肯定有很多丈夫。
And the king said, "What?" He said, "No." He said, "I'm the only husband of my."
然后这个国王挺愤怒，说怎么可能？我是我妻子唯一的丈夫。
So Gopal said that how I will, but king, for the Mahabharata, we have to have more husbands for your wife.
但是这个 Mahabharata 里面的国王，他那个妻子，他有五个丈夫。
So the king said, "Then stop this Mahabharata nonsense. Stop doing this. We're not doing this. Don't bother to finish."
然后这个国王说，算了，你就别再写了，简直是胡扯八道，别写这个 Mahabharata 了。
So Prabhupada said, just like these scientists, they're always saying, "Very soon we're going to stop old age, disease, and death."
就像所以帕帕说，就这个现在的科学家就像这个国王是，就像那个 Gopa， 刚才说到这个 Gopa 一样，他们总是说马上就要完了，马上就要去结束人们的生老病死了。
Just give me more money.
你给，只不过是你，我们还需要更多的钱。
And this way, the scientists are taking all the people's money.
所以呢，就这样呢，这些科学家们把人们所有的钱呢，就囊入，就纳入自己的囊中。
And what is the result?
那结果是什么呢
？Yeah, people are dying every day.
实际上，每天都有人死。
They're not solving any problem.
所以呢，他们科学家们没有解决任何的问题。
So we cannot avoid the miseries of birth and death.
所以呢，我们不能够避免生老病死。
But we should appreciate them.
但是呢，我们应该去理解这些。
We should want to get out of this material world.
我们应该从这个物质世界里超脱出来。
So this is part of the process of knowledge.
所以呢，这就是这个知识的一部分。
We have to be convinced of the misery of this material world.
我们必须要去确信这个物质世界里是痛苦的。
Then we can properly understand how to make how to get up, how to make progress.
这样我们才能够正确的去理解明白怎么样从这个物质世界里超脱出来。
Okay, so we're going to go on to the next section.
现在我们来继续下一部分。
Text 13, Krishna is going to explain about Gyan, the noble Gyan.
啊，现在 Krishna 第十三十节 ，Krishna 要说明什么是知者，
yeah,
可知者，
the
noble. 可认知者，可认知的 Gyan。
There are two nobles.
有两个可认知的。
There's the individual soul and the super soul.
一个就是个体灵魂，一个就是超灵。
Previously, we had described these the soul and the super soul as the knower of the field of activities.
那么刚才我们已经说明了，个体灵魂和超灵都是活动场的知者。
Here they're described as the object of knowledge.
这里呢就解释了知识的对象。
Yeah, the object of knowledge and the knower of the field of activities are the same.
知识的对象和活动场的知者。
Means there are two. That is the individual soul and the super soul.
那么就意味着有两个，一个是个体灵魂，一个是超灵。
You can read the first three sentences in the first word, text 13. Read the verse first.
First, 要指主已经解释过活动场和第十三十节。现在我要说明什么是可认知的。你知道后就会尝到永恒，它是无始的，而且从属于我。它称为 Brahman， 也就是灵，在这个物质世界的因果之外。
Now this verse is about the individual soul.
那么这个诗节讲的是个体灵魂，谈到了个体灵魂。
This word, Brahman, is used in different ways.
这 Brahman 这个词，它有很多用途。
It was mentioned earlier in the purport of text number 5.
在第五十节里面，他用了很多地方用到了 Brahman 这个词。
Krishna Prabhupada in the purport of text 5 describes different types of understandings of Brahman.
在第五十节里，帕帕在要旨里说了关于 Brahman 这个词的不同的用法。
First of all, he says this is going back to text 5 in the purport.Going back to text 5, we want to go back to text 5 to the purport.
我们回到第五十节的要旨里面，翻到第五十节的要旨。
In the second last paragraph, Prabhupada explains about different types of Brahman.
在倒数第二个自然段中，帕帕描述了不同的
Brahman，
不同的方式解释的 Brahman。
That means different realizations of the absolute.
那也就是说，对于关于绝对真理的不同的觉悟认识。
First of all, there is anamaya.
第一个就是 anamaya.
Anna means grains, food grains.
那么 anna 的意思是食物。
So there's a on the lowest level of realization.There is this dependence upon food for existence.
那么就是关于觉悟的最基本的一点，最底层的一点就是依赖食物生存。
Just like a child, when the child is born, all the child can do is eat.
那就像是孩子，就是婴儿，婴儿一出生，他能做的就是什么？就是吃。
You see the child, when he's born, he will open his eyes.And you know, if he's not sleeping or crying, he wants to eat.
就像是那个婴儿，他那会儿他没有哭，他睁着眼睛，那么他想做什么，他就想吃。
This is Anamaya.
这就是 Anamaya.
This is like people who are just simply interested in economic development.
那么这个呢，就比喻为就是指的是人们只是对这些物质的发展感兴趣。
Yeah, people will say, I have no time to come. I have to work. I have to make money.
那么人们就说，我没有时间去，我必须要辛苦的工作，我必须要赚钱。
Just so I can eat.
所以呢，这样呢，我才能够吃，才能有吃的。
And they have no time for anything else.
所以呢，他没有时间做任何其他的事。This
is called Anamaya.
那么这种境况就被称为Anamaya。
That we're thinking that life is just simply meant for eating.
那么在这种情况下，人们只是认为他们的生活就是为了吃，
no higher purpose.
没有更高的目标了。
Then the second level of realization is called pranamaya.
那么觉悟的第二个层面被称为 pranamaya.
So after seeing the absolute truth in food, then one sees the absolute truth in the living in the actions and the motions of the body in life, signs of life.
一个人在食物中觉悟了至尊真理之后呢，就能够通过生命的征候，然后躯体的活动，生物的形态觉悟到觉悟真理。
So after economic development, once one gets economic development, then one wants to protect oneself.
那么当一个人他得到了经济发展之后呢，他就会去保护自己。
Yeah, if you get some money, then you start locking the door, and you have some guard, you have security there.
如果你一旦很有钱的话，你就会去找保安，去找保卫。
You become more careful.
你就会更加小心翼翼了。
If you have nothing to steal, you don't worry.
那如果没有什么值得别人去偷的话，你不会有什么担心。
But as soon as we have something, then we have to lock up. We have to lock it. We need insurance.
那要是如果你很有钱的话，有什么值钱的东西的话，你可能晚上睡都睡不着觉。
Put a big dog there.
然后呢，你就会让一个大狗给你看门。
Like this, we want to protect ourselves.
所以呢，你就用这种方式想要保护自己。
This is pranamaya.
这被称为 pranamaya.
And then the third stage is called manamaya.
那么第三个阶段呢，就被称为 manamaya.
Where people become more conscious and start to think about different things. They have feelings.
那么在这个阶段呢，人们就会更多的去考虑他们的情感感受，他们的知觉就发展得更深一些。
Different desires come in the mind.
那么各种各样的欲望呢，就从他们的心意当中生出来了。
They're thinking a bit more than just simply eating and defending.
那么他们呢，就是只不过是吃和防卫。
So then the fourth level is called Vijnanamaya.
那在第四个阶段被称为 Vijnanamaya.
Yeah, we had Anamaya, Pranamaya, Manamaya, and now
Anamaya.
Mana, the mind. Mana, the third level was the mind. Mana.
Mana 是意，心意的意思。
The second was Prana. Prana means life. Prana, the energy in the body.
那 prana 指的是生命，指生命之气。
Anna is the first one. Anna means food grains.
那么 Anna 的意思是食物，食物的意思。第一个阶段
Anamaya。
Anna 是指的食物。
第一个是食物，第二个是生命之气。
第三个是 mana，
心意。
Singing that you want.
他这里写是Gyanamaya，不是Manamaya。哦，去了包房。Gyanamaya。
第三个是Gyanamaya。
就冲了还有什么？
第五十
节。Oh yeah, Gyanamaya. Bhagavad Gita is Gyanamaya.
Gyanamaya.
It's also in the Krishna book. This is also mentioned in the Krishna book, in the prayers by the personified Vedas. And I think there it mentions mana, mana.
Mana maya.
But here is Gyana maya.
在这里说到了是 Gyana maya 第三个阶段，但是在那个Krishna book 里面，在那个人格经他们供奉祷文的时候提到了是 mana maya.
And okay, so then the fourth one is Vijnana.
第四个阶段就是 Vijnana Maya、
Vijnana. In this, in the Vijnana Maya, then the living entity understands something of himself as a person.
那么在这个Vijnana Maya 阶段的时候，生物呢，它认识到自己的人格性。
So, going back to the verse 13, we see what it Prabhupada mentions at the end of the purport of text 13.
那么现在我们再回到第十三十节，帕帕在要旨的最后一段。
He says about this Brahman.
他讲到了这个 Brahman.
He says, therefore, the description of Brahman.Mentioned in this verse is in relation to the individual soul. And when the word Brahman is applied to the living entity, it is to be understood that he is Vijnana Brahman as opposed to Ananda Brahman.
在这里就说到了，帕帕在要旨里说到，本师觉对 Brahman 的描述，Brahman 的描述跟个体灵魂有关系。当 Brahman 一词应用于生物身上。意义即为 Vijnana Brahma 而非喜悦的 Brahma Ananda Brahma 喜悦的 Brahma 是至尊 Brahman 人格守神
Yeah There's the fifth realization of Brahman is called Ananda
那么第五个阶段被称为 Ananda Brahma
Ananda Maya
Ananda Maya、
yeah. We have Vijnana MayaAnd Ananda Maya.
我们有第四个阶段是 Vijnana Maya， 第五个阶段是 Ananda Maya.
Realization of the blissful nature of the soul.
那就是 Ananda Maya， 就是指的是对灵魂的认识到灵魂的喜悦，认识到灵魂的喜悦。
So the Mayavadis, they think that when they come to Ananda Maya, when they get this Ananda Maya, then they become God.
那么就是这样，那些 Yogi
Mayavadi
Mayavadi， 但那个 Mayavadi 他们到达 Ananda Maya 的时候，他们认为自己就是神。
But for the devotee, they understand that Ananda Maya means they become one.With Krishna, not merging, but they maintain their individuality and serve the Lord.
但是奉献者当他们到达 Ananda Maya 的时候，他们认识到了自己是服务人，是服务至尊一个守神的，而且认识到了自己的个体性。虽然他们与主合二，但是不是虽然他们和主在。是一致的，但是呢，他们不是融入到组织中，他们认识到自己的个体性。
It is mentioned in this verse that the living entity is subordinate to the supreme.
在这个要旨里面说到了，个体生物体是，从属于至尊主的。
So there's a relationship. There are two mentioned. There is definitely two mentioned. It's not Mayavadi. It's not all one. There are two.
所以呢，关于既然有关系，那么就肯定是提到了两个，而不是说只是一个。
And it mentions about this in this verse. Krishna mentions he uses this word. Pritam Ashnate. He said, in which you will taste the eternal.
那么 Krishna 在译文里就说到了，说你知道以后就会尝到永恒。
And this eternal, this is the spiritual nature.
那么这个永恒是指的是灵性的永恒。
We identify with the material body.
我们认同于物质躯体。
We have to identify with the soul.
但是我们必须要认同于灵魂，认知到自己的身份是灵魂。
So Krishna in this 13th verse is describing about the individual soul.
所以呢 ，Krishna 在第十三诗节里面就讲述了关于个体灵魂的事情。
But in texts 14 and 15, he describes about the super soul.
在第十四诗节和十五诗节 ，Krishna 讲述了超灵。
And he describes about them in a very impersonal manner.
Krishna 呢，他是以一种非人格的这种方式描述了超灵。
So we see in Bhagavad Gita, there's also some, you know, some impersonal statements.
我们在这个《博迦梵歌》里面也会看到有关于非人格的一些说法。
We have to understand these things properly.
我们必须要正确的去理解这些话语。
Just like it's mentioned, we can read text 14.
第十四十节，你的手，他的手足眼无处不在，他能听到一切。超灵就是这样存在，遍存万物。
So it would appear that the supreme is everywhere.
所以呢，至尊者他无处不在。
So people will think that if he's everywhere, if the supreme is everywhere, then he cannot have a form.
那么人们就说，如果至尊主无处不在的话，那他肯定没有形体。
But it is mentioned here in text. It's mentioned that he has eyes, heads, faces, ears.
但是在这里第十四十节里面就说到了至尊者他有手，有足，有脚，有眼。
He has hands, he has legs.
他有手有脚。
So, Prabhupada explains to us what is the real meaning behind this verse.
那么帕帕就解释了这个诗节最后的意思到底是什么呢？
Because in the material world, we are thinking, my hand, my leg.
因为在物质世界里，我们都是这样想的：我的手，我的足。
My eyes, my ears.
我的眼睛，我的耳朵。
These things are all that this conception of mine, this is wrong.
所以呢，关于这个我和我的这样的概念都是错误的。
The real understanding should be to think that these eyes and hands and legs, they're actually all meant for Krishna's service.
那么正确的理解应该就是这些手这些眼睛这些耳朵都应该被用来服务 Krishna， 这才是正确的理解。
But in conditioned life we are thinking that these senses are all meant for our service, for our material enjoyment.
但是在受条件限制的状态下，我们认为这些手眼睛所有的这些感官都应该用来服务自己。
Just like at the beginning of the battle of Kurukshetra，
就像是在库鲁切特库鲁战役战一开始的时候，
Arjuna was thinking, my hands, my legs, they are can related to my family.
Arjuna 只是想着我的手我的腿都跟我的家人有关系相关。
So I shouldn't fight with my family.
所以呢，我不应该跟我的家里的人作战。
I shouldn't fight with my and with the Kurus because they are my relatives.But when Arjuna heard the Bhagavad Gita from Krishna, then he changed his thinking.
但是呢，阿朱那听了 Krishna 讲述 Bhagavad Gita， 这个时候他的心完全改变了。
Instead of thinking in terms of his body and the family, he thought in terms of Krishna.
他那个时候他完全没有想自己的身体。跟自己的家人相关，他想的是跟 Krishna 相关。
In this way, this was the perfection of his hearing Bhagavad Gita.
这就是他聆听博迦梵歌的完美境界。
This is a liberated platform when you start to do everything in relation to Krishna.
当你做一切都是为了跟 Krishna 的服务相联系的时候，那么这就是解脱的阶段。
Prabhupada says that bhakti, we shouldn't think that now I have two hands, but when I'm liberated, I have 2,000 hands.
那么帕帕说 bhakti, 他不是这么想的。现在我有两只手，那等我解脱之后，我有2,000只手。Bhakti 不是这么想的。
No, it's not like that.
不是这个样子的。
It means that simply we use our two hands in Krishna's service.
那么 Bhakti 的就是用我们的这个感官，两只手是用来服务 Krishna。
That these things, these hands belong to Krishna.
而且他们想的这些手都是属于 Krishna。
And we also see that Krishna, because he has hands and legs, and he's a person. He's not impersonal. He's not simply energy.
所以呢，我们可以看到，因为这里提到了。至尊者他有手有足有眼有脸，所以呢就说明了至尊主肯定是一个人，他不是一个非人格的，他有他的形体。
He can have an impersonal feature.
他肯定有他的非人格特征。
We're saying he's everywhere, he's everything.
因为这里说到了他无处不在。
That means everything is his.
那么就意味着一切万物全都是他的。
But we should always remember that Krishna is a person.
但是同时我们也应该知道 Krishna 是一个人。
We offer things to Krishna and he can accept them.
我们向 Krishna 供奉，他能够接受。
How does he accept our offerings?
那他怎么接受我们的供品呢？
He must have hands.
他肯定有手。
When we recite prayers, are we reciting prayers just for our pleasure, just for us to hear?
那么，当我们去供奉祷文的时候，难道我们是为了我们自己的快乐去供奉祷文吗？
No, Krishna has ears and he can hear.
因为 Krishna 他有耳朵，他能够听我们供奉的祷文。
When we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna can hear our chanting.
当我们唱诵 Hare Krishna 的时候 ，Krishna 他能够听到我们的唱诵。
So Krishna has senses.
所以 Krishna 他有感官。
He's not just some light or some impersonal feature.
Krishna 他有他的光灿 ，Krishna 有他的非人格特征。
The impersonal feature is a part of his personality.
那么，他的非人格特征是人格的一部分。
You know that the light comes from the body. The Brahman comes from the body of Krishna.
我们知道 Brahman 光灿是来源于 Krishna 的身体。
So, this is Krishna's impersonal feature.
所以这就是 Krishna 的非人格特征。
But he is a person.
但是 Krishna 他是一个人。
In text 15, where Krishna goes on to describe the super soul.
然后第15:10 Krishna 继续描述了超灵。超灵是一切感官的始源，但它却没有感官。它虽是一切生物的维系者，却无所依附。它超越自然形态，同时又是物质自然形态之主。
So both these texts, texts 14 and 15, they're all about the super soul.
所以第14和15:10都讲述的是超灵。
We're not everywhere.
我们个体灵魂不是无处不在的。
We are not. None of these qualities, none of these descriptions fit us.
所以我们没有这里所描述的那些品质。
In this text, it's mentioned that he has no senses. That means he has no senses like our senses.
在这个十五师节里说到了他没有感官，这个感没有感官指的是他的感官不像是我们这样的感官。
Krishna.Because he has a spiritual form, we cannot see his spiritual form.
Krishna, 他有他的灵性的形体，但是我们看不到 Krishna 的灵性形体。
We can see matter, we can see material things.
我们可以看到物质的东西。
But we cannot see subtle things. We cannot see the mind.
但是我们看不见那些精微的东西，我们看不到心意。
And the same way we cannot see spiritual things.
所以同样的，我们看不到灵性的东西。
So therefore, Krishna and Allah, in order for, to allow us to see Him, Krishna enters into material objects.
所以呢，为了让我们能够看到 Krishna 的形体。Krishna 他亲自进入到了物质的东西当中。
Just like he enters into the deity.
就像是 Krishna 他进入到了神像之中。
Similarly, the soul, there's the spirit soul, is also, you know, we cannot see the soul.
就像是我们看不到这个灵魂，但是灵魂进入到了身体当中。
We know this, the soul is there and it has a form, but we cannot see it.
我们知道灵魂它有它的形体，但是我们却看不到灵魂的形体。
Because we don't have the spiritual vision.
因为我们没有灵性的视野。
In the same way, Krishna also has a spiritual form.
所以同样的 ，Krishna 他也有他的灵性的形体。
We cannot see it with our material senses.
所以我们不能够用我们物质的感官去看到 Krishna 的灵性形体。
But when we purify our senses, then we can see.
但是当我们的感官得到净化的时候，那个时候我们才能够看到。
We can purify our senses through the process of hearing and chanting.
我们可以通过聆听和唱诵的程序能够净化我们的感官。
By devotional service, we can purify ourselves.
通过奉献服务我们能够净化自己。
Then we can see Krishna.
那个时候我们才能够看到 Krishna.
Text 16 goes on to describe also about the super soul.
第十六十节也讲述了超灵。绝对真理既存在于众生的内部，亦存在于众生的外部，亦动亦静，因为它如此精微，我们物质的感官能力无法看到或认识。它十分遥远，却离众生很近。
This verse is similar to some verses in the, a verse in the Ishopanishad.
这个诗节呢，跟这个 Ishopanishad 的其中的一个诗节很接近。
嗯，这就是《奥义书》。
是《中奥义书》。
Yeah, in the 这就是 in the Ishopanishad, 这就是《奥义书》。It is mentioned there how the Lord walks, He does not walk. He is far away, but He is near as well.
在《至尊奥义书》里面有一个诗节说，至尊主又行又止，既远也近。
He's within everything. He's outside of everything.
他既在万物之中，又在万物之外。
This is to help us to understand the inconceivable potency of Krishna.
这是为了帮助我们去了解 Krishna 不可思议的能量。
When things are mentioned like this in the scriptures, it's to help us to understand the inconceivable nature.
所以，当这个经典里面以这样的方式去描述的时候，是为了帮助我们去了解 Krishna 不可思议的能量。
We should always remember that we cannot understand Krishna by our material senses.
所以我们应该总是记住这一点，我们通过自己的物质的感官是不能够去理解 Krishna 的。
How can we understand him?
我们怎么能够去了解 Krishna 呢？
He can describe himself to us.
他能够向我们揭示他自己。
He can reveal himself to us.
他向我们揭示他自己。
We cannot force him to reveal himself.
但是我们不能够强迫 Krishna 向我们揭示他自己。
But when he wants to show himself to his devotee, he can.
但是呢，当 Krishna 想要向他的奉献者揭示他自己的时候，他就能够揭示他自己。
But we cannot expect that we will know Krishna just simply by our austerity or by our rituals.
但是呢，我们不要指望着，只是通过自己的仪式，通过自己的苦行，就能够去见到 Krishna， 就能够强迫 Krishna 揭示他自己。
Krishna is only conquered by pure loving devotion.
Krishna 他只是被纯粹的奉爱所征服。
This is brought out in many places in Bhagavad Gita.
在《薄伽梵歌》里，很多地方都说到了这一点。
Krishna is controlled by his devotees.
Krishna, 他完全被纯粹奉献者的纯粹奉爱所征服。
Text 17.
第十七十节，超灵看似是分散在众生之中，但其实未被分割，他一直安处如一， 他是众生的维系者，但我们必须明白，他培育一切又吞噬一切。
Now text 18 brings out more clearly how Krishna is talking about the super soul.
那么在第十八章第十八十节 ，Krishna 更加明确的、更加清晰的解释了，讲述了超灵。十八，它是一切发光体的光源，它在物质的黑暗之外，而且是并不展示的。它是知识，知识的对象和知识的目标，它处于每一个人的心中。
So you can see very clearly, Krishna is talking about the super soul in this verse.
所以我们可以看很清楚的，在这一世界里看到了 Krishna 怎么样去讲述超灵的。
Krishna, he mentions he is the source of light in all objects.
Krishna 在这里说了，他是一切发光体的光源。
There are different lights, different types of light in the world.
在世界上有不同的发光体，发出不同的光。
We have the light of the moon, the light of the sun.
我们知道有太阳光，有月光。
It is said the light of the moon is a reflection of the light of the sun.
据说月光是太阳光的反射。
The moon is like a mirror of the sun.
那么这个月光呢，就像是阳光的镜子。
Just like if you take a mirror and reflect the light of the sun in the mirror.
那就像是你拿一个镜子去照这个阳光，那么这个镜子里就会反射出阳光。
So in the same way, the moon is reflecting the light of the sun.
所以同样的，月光它是反应，是阳光的反射。
And the sun is the king of all planets in the universe.
那么这个太阳呢，是宇宙当中的王，国王，宇宙当中的星球的国王。
Without the light of the sun, then this world, the whole world would be finished.
那如果没有阳光的话，整个世界就会被毁灭。
Nothing would grow.
那么什么都不会长，长出来。
We would not be able to live.
我们呢也就活不下去了，也不能生存下去。
And where does that light of the sun come from?
那这个阳光是从哪里来的呢？
That is reflecting the light from the Brahman.
那阳光呢是 Brahman 的反射。
And where is that light of the Brahman coming from?
那 Brahman 梵光是从哪里来的呢？
That is coming from the body of Krishna.
那梵光 Brahman 它是来源于 Krishna 的身体。
That ultimately everything comes from Krishna.
所以终极而言，一切都来源于 Krishna.
So, this way we should understand how Krishna is the source of everything.
所以以这样的方式，我们就能够去了解为什么说一切都来源于 Krishna.
And he is situated in everyone's heart.
而且能够明白他为什么处于每他以什么样的方式处于每个人的心中。
So from text 13 up to text 19, we haven't read 19 yet. We can go on read 19.
十九世节，至此我已经概述了活动场、躯体、知识、可知的，只有我的奉献者才能彻底明白这些，并且由之到达我的本性。
Krishna in text 19 is summarizing what he has been explaining.
那么在第十九世节里 ，Krishna 他就是总结了他刚才所描述的。
In text 13, he described about the individual soul.
在第十三世节里面，他讲述了关于个体灵魂。
And then text 14 to 18 described about the super soul.
那么从第十四世节一直到第十八世节，就讲述的是超灵。
And text 19 is the summary.
那第十九世节呢，就是概述，对上面几个世节的概述。
You can read the now to summarize the second paragraph.
第十九世节的第二世节。第二自然段，要旨的第二自然段。现在我们来总结一下世界六和世界七，即从 Mahabhutani 一直到 Chetana Driti， 分析了物质元素和生命特征的某些展示，这些合起来形成躯体即活动场。从世界八到世界十二，即从 Amanitva 到 Tattva Gyanata Darshana，描述了了解两种活动场的认知者，即个体灵魂和超灵的知识途径。 然后十节十三到十八，从 Anadi Mat 到从
Anadi
Mat Pranam 一直到 Riddhi Savasha Vistitam 描述了灵魂和至尊主超灵。
So Prabhupada is just using the Sanskrit words there, which begin the and end the different verses.
所以呢，帕帕在这里用了这个梵文，指的是从哪个梵文一直到哪个梵文，指的是哪个诗节。
So the next section goes on, beginning text 20.
下一部分呢是从第二十诗节开始。
Up to text 26.
一直到二十六诗节，这是下一个部分。
And it describes how the soul and the super soul as Purusha.
那解释的是那个个体灵魂和超灵。
How they perform the how they are the Purusha or the enjoyer.
那么这里就描述了这几个世界，就描述了个体灵魂还有享受者 Purusha 怎么享受。
And they have some connection with the material nature.
以及跟这个物质自然的联系。
You can see why this section, this last part of the Bhagavad Gita is all about Jnana Yoga.
我们可以看到 this section.
Chapter 13 to 18 is described to be mainly Jnana Yoga.
那从第十三章一直到第十八章讲述了 Jnana Yoga.
Krishna is describing so much, many technical things here.
在这十三章到第十八章 Krishna 讲述了非常专业性的。
He's going to explain how the living entity becomes entangled in the material nature.
在这几章Krishna 讲述了生物体是如何束缚在这个物质世界。
And it's going to come in this next section, in this section 20 to 26.
那么在这二十世节到二十六世节呢，就是讲的这关于这个话题。
So, Lord Krishna.Still has to describe what is prakriti and purush.
那么 Krishna 呢？主 Krishna 讲述什么是物质自然 prakriti 和什么是 purusha 享受者。
Prakriti means enjoyable or enjoyed.
那 prakriti 的意思就是被享受的，被享受者。
And purusha means enjoyer.
那 purusha 的意思是享受者。
Now, the living entity is, we said there are two knowers in the body.
我们刚才就说到了，这个躯体里面一共有两个知悉者。
There's the living entity and the super soul.
一个是个体灵魂，一个是超灵。
Now, the super soul is actually meant to be the enjoyer. He is the real Purusha.
那么书那个超灵呢，就应该就是我们所说的享受者。
But the living entity wants to enjoy.
但是个体灵魂却想要成为享受者。
The living entity is also a purusha.
所以个体灵魂也是 purusha 享受者。
He is the superior energy of Krishna.
但是他是 Krishna 的高等能量。
But he has a tendency to fall under the material energy.
但是呢，个体灵魂他却有这种被物质能量左右的这种倾向。
The living entity is different from prakriti.
所以，但个生物是有别于 prakriti 的物质自然的。
He's superior to prakriti.
他高于。Prakriti, 物质自然。
But he is not superior to the Purusha.
但是呢，个体，但是生物它不高于Purusha 享受者。
He is meant to be under the control of the Purusha.
他是在这个超享受者的控制之下。
But Krishna as the super soul gives a living entity free will.
但是呢，超灵 Krishna 他给予了个体灵魂自由意志。
So this body is made up of material nature.
所以这个物质躯体是由物质能量组成的。
And the living entity in the body is enjoying the body.
那么这个物质躯体当中的个体灵魂呢，就享受这个物质躯体。
But there is not only the individual living entity, but there is also the super soul.
但是这个身体，物质身体里面不仅仅有个体灵魂，还有超灵。
They are both parts. They are both manifestations of the personality of Godhead.
那么个体灵魂和超灵都是至尊人格首神 Krishna 的展示。
Prabhupada mentions the last sentence in the first paragraph of the purport of text 20.
在二十诗节的第一个段落的最后一句话。
The living entity is in the category of his energy, and the super soul.Is in the category of his personal expansion.
生物属于主的能量范畴，超灵属于主个人扩展的范畴。
So there's a difference between the super soul and the individual soul.
所以这就是个体灵魂和超灵之间的分别。
We are the energy, Krishna's energy, and the super soul is his personal expansion.
我生物是主的能量，而超灵是主的个体扩展，个人扩展。
Now sometimes there's some difficulty. People have difficulty to understand about this material world. Is this material world eternal?
那么这个物质世界呢？Sorry.
Is the material world? Is this material world eternal?
Eternal.
嗯。
永恒。
永恒，这个物质世界是永恒。那么有一些物质。困难的人，
有些人难以理解
这个物质世界是永恒的。
Prabhupada, when we talk about the material world, we mean the material nature.
所以，当我们说讲述物质世界的时候，实际上是在讲述物质能量。
The material nature is eternal.
物质能量是永恒的。
But it changes. It takes many different forms.
但是呢，它总是在变化，它有各种各样的形体。
Yeah, we see how our body goes through different changes.
我们可以看到我们自己的躯体经过多少的个变化。
There are six changes of the body.
这个躯体要经过六种变化。
First of all, takes birth.
第一个就是要出生。
And then grows for some time.
接着呢，就是成长一段时间。
And then maintains for some time.
接着呢，就是维系。
Then produces some byproduct.
然后呢，就产生副产品。
Then begins to dwindle.
接着呢，就开始衰老。
And then death.
最后就是死亡。
These are the six changes of the body.
这就是这个物质躯体的六种变化。
But the elements of the body are all eternal.
但是这个身体的元素都是永恒的。
They say matter cannot be created or destroyed.
所以就说这个物质既不会被创造，也不会被毁灭。
But it changes. It changes its different form.
但是呢，它却发生改变，它以各种各样的形式发生改变。
Just like these buildings, these houses here, that after some time they will all be knocked down.
就像是这里的各种建筑一样。经过一段时间以后，他们全都没有了，全都被拆毁了。
But the elements of the houses, they may be used in other ways.
但是呢，这个房屋的元素，它可能会以其他的途径被用。
Somebody will come and take the pipes, and somebody will take the bricks.
那有的人呢，会来把这个房屋拆了以后的这个砖拿走。
Somebody else will come, they want to take the wires and the copper.
然后有的人呢会拿走一些电线啊，铜、金属什么之类的。
So the material nature is eternal.
所以呢，物质能量是永恒的。
So the Mayavadi say this world is false.
那些 Mayavadi 说这个物质世界是虚假的。
They say only the Brahman is real.
他们说只有 Brahman 是真实的。
We say no, this world is real.
但是我们说这个物不，这个物质世界是真实的。
What is false is our relationship with this world.
那么虚假的所在是指于我们跟这个物质世界的关系是虚假的。
We are thinking this world is for our enjoyment.
我们认为这个物质世界是为了用于我们来享乐的。
But it's not for our enjoyment.
但是这个物质世界不是用来我们享乐的。
It's meant for Krishna's service.
它这个物质世界是用来服务 Krishna 的。
So this is a mistake we make.
这就是我们的错误，我们犯的错误。
So we were saying, Purusha means the enjoyer.
Purusha 的意思是享受者。
And who does not want to enjoy?
谁想成为享受者？
Well, I was saying how in India men are known as Purush.
我们都知昨天都听说了，在印度男人被称为 Purush 享受者。
Does it mean only men enjoy?
那这意味着只有男人是享受者吗？
Everyone wants to enjoy.
实际上，每个人都想成为享受者。
Man wants to enjoy woman, but women want to enjoy men.
男人想享受女人，女人想享受男人。
Cats, dogs, pigs, they all want to enjoy.
那些猫、狗、猪，他们都想享受。
Everybody is thinking, I want to enjoy.
每个人都想，我要想成为享受者。
This is our problem.
这就是我们的问题。
That we're trying to be the Purusha.
因为我们想成为 Purusha，
but we are not Purush。
但实际上我们不是 Purusha。
Our position is to be enjoyed。
我们的地位是我们是被享受的。
To be the servant of Krishna。
我们应该成为 Krishna 的仆人。
When we serve Krishna, then we are happy。
当一个人服务 Krishna 的时候，他就会快乐。
We try to enjoy this body。
我们想试图去享受这个身体。
But we fail。
但是呢，我们失败了。
And then we get another material body.
接着呢，我们就会得到另外一个物质躯体。
And this way, we're taking birth again and again in the material world.
就这样呢，我们一次又一次的在物质世界里投生。
So that this material nature is real; it is not false.
所以这个物质自然是真实的，它不是虚假的。
Just like sometimes you become angry.
就像有的时候你非常愤怒、生气。
And sometimes when we're angry, we slam the door, we break something.
当一个人愤怒的时候，他就会砸门，就会摔东西。
We shout and scream.
我们就会大叫、尖叫。
And then other times we're not angry.
但当不生气的时候呢？
Does it mean that all that anger, the anger was not real?
当不生气的时候。你就这是不是那个生气的是生气是虚假的呢？不是真实的呢
？Well, I'm not angry now.
我现在不生气了。
So the anger was false.
那这个生气是假的吗
？No, the anger was there, but it was not. Now it may not be shown. Now you're not showing anger, but before it was there.
但这个愤怒呢？它是在那里的。以前我愤怒过，现在呢，我没有生气了，没有展示出这个生气的样子。
Just like sometimes there are clouds in the sky.
就像有的时候天上有很多云朵。
And other days the sky is clear.
但是其他的时候呢，万里无云。
So when the sky is clear, we say no, there's no clouds.
但当那个万里无云、晴空万里的时候，我们能够说天上没有云彩吗
？So the clouds were false.
那这个云彩是假的吗
？No, it's just that they're not. We're not seeing. There are no clouds today, but there are clouds.
那实际上是因为我们今天没有看到天上有云。但是并不意味着天上没有云彩。
In the same way, the material world is real.
所以同样的，这个物质自然是真实的。
Sometimes it's manifest, and other times it's not.
有的时候它被展示，有的时候它没有被展示。
We have to understand the material energy is eternal.
所以我们必须要明白，物质自然、物质能量是永恒的。
Text 21.
第二十一世节，据说自然是所有物质因果的原因，而生物则是此事诸种痛苦和享受的原因。
So nature is the cause of the suffering.
所以呢，这个自然它引起了痛苦。
But the living entity himself is the actual cause.
但实际上，生物是诸多痛苦的原因。
So nature is the cause of all causes and effects, but the living entity himself is responsible.
在这里说到了，自然是所有物质因果的原因。而生物则为自己的痛苦负责任。
Sometimes the living entity does not like to think. We don't like to think that we're responsible for our suffering in this world.
有的时候，生物呢，他不想这么认为，认为我们。应该为自己的痛，在这个物质世界上经历的各种痛苦负责任。他们不想这么想。
People will say, "I never did anything to deserve this."
当人们说，我从来没有做过任何要得到这种痛苦的事情啊。
They will say, "I'm a good person. I've never done anything bad. I don't deserve to suffer."
有的人说我是一个善良的人啊，我从来没有做过坏事，我怎么就应该受苦呢
？Why is the world so cruel to me?
为什么这个世界对我这么残酷
？But according to Bhagavad Gita, we are responsible.
但是在这里，根据博迦梵歌说，我们应该为自己的行为负责。
Happiness and distress,
不管是
they come according to our activities.
所以呢，痛苦和快乐是根据我们的活动而来的。
Of course, happiness and distress are different for different people.
当然了，这个痛苦和快乐对于不同的人来说就意味不一样。
What appears to be very horrible and terrible things for us may be very pleasant for another person.
可能是对我们来说非常恶心、非常可怕的事情，对于其他人来说就是一种快乐、很好的东西。
We see sometimes when people are eating, especially, you see them eat some smelly fish.
当我们就是看到有一些人吃那些恶心的鱼的时候。
And you see the bones and everything.
然后就会看到有里面有各种骨头什么之类的，一切血。
And for a devotee to look and have to smell these things, then it's disgusting and horrible.
然后对于奉献者来说，看到这些血淋淋的东西来说，他们是恶心的，是非常可怕的东西。
Yeah, sometimes you're invited to social functions.
有的时候呢，奉献者。被邀请参加那些社交仪式、社交活动。
And they're offering you alcohol, cigarettes.
然后有人呢就给你抽烟，给你烟抽，给你那个可口可乐喝。
All kinds of meat, fish and egg.
然后有人就给你吃，给你盛上各种各样的鱼肉。
And you're looking at it and going, oh, horrible.
然后你就会看，哎，太可怕了。
And they're thinking, no, so nice. You should take as much as you like.
然后其他人说这多好吃啊，你尽情的吃吧。
Yeah, they're thinking so nice, and we're thinking so horrible.
所以对于他们来说这都是美餐，但对我们来说这都是挺恶心的食物。
Just like, you know, you get these creatures, these roaches, cockroaches, 蟑螂, you know, they live in the most dirty, filthy places.
我们可以看到那些蟑螂。他喜欢生活在最脏的地方。
But if you take them out of those places, you know, they will rush back in.
但是如果你把那些脏的地方打扫干净了以后，那么这个蟑螂立刻就走了。
Prabhupada used to, he would always talk about the hog, the pig in Vrindavan.
帕帕总是讲到了文达文的猪。
And he would say, if we offer the pig some nice halva cooked with ghee and sugar.They will say, "No, give me some stool."
然后帕帕说，如果你给那些猪，给他们美味可口的那个哈喇吧，用 ghee 做成的哈喇吧，他们这些猪说不，给我粪便吃吧。
yeah. activities.
所以呢，根据生物体的各种的行为，所以对他们来说呢，就有不同的痛苦和快乐。
What we are thinking to be suffering can be happiness for somebody else. What we think may be happiness is suffering for someone else.
所以那么对于我们来说，快乐的事情可能对于其他人来说就是痛苦的事情。
Just like we think, you know, it's very nice to give up meat, fish, and eggs, but people are thinking, oh, this is terrible.
就像是对于奉献者来说，不吃鱼肉蛋是非常好的事情，但是对其他人来说，哦，太可怕了，怎么可能？
What do you eat? What can you eat?
那他们就会，那你吃什么呀？你还能吃什么呀？
So, anyway, Krishna is explaining about this as cause and effect. That nature is said to be the cause, and the living entity is responsible.
所以在这里就说到了，说自然是所有物质因果的原因，而生物则应该为自己的行为负责。
Then, text 22.
第二十二世节。
A very important verse.
这一世节是非常重要的。物质自然中的生物就这样循着生命的道路享受自然的三形态，这是由于生物跟物质自然接触的缘故，于是便在不同的生命种类中遭遇善恶诸事。
So this text 22 brings out the value of brings out the importance of the living entity understanding himselfNot to be the master, but to be the servant.
第二十二世节就告诉了生物，他们的最重要的一点就是，我们不是这个，我们不是主人，我们是仆人。
Yeah, we're the servant. This is something which we have to hear repeatedly to remind ourselves.
所以这个世节我们应该一而再，再而三的让自己记住这个世界。
The cause of our suffering and happiness in this world is all because of this ignorance that we've forgotten we're the servant.
因为我们忘记了自己是仆人的身份，所以呢，我们来到这个物质世界里受到各种痛苦。
And how do we overcome this? We have to hear again and again and again.
所以呢，怎么样去克服，怎么样去超越这一点呢？我们必须要一次又一次的聆听。
We have to be reminded. We have to have somebody kick us in the head.
我们必须要有人来踢我们的头。
That you are not the master. You are not the enjoyer.
那这个人怎么踢呢？是你不是这个主人，你不是享受者。
This world is not for you to enjoy.
这个物质世界不是用来你享受的。
You are the servant of the servant.Of the servant.
你是仆人的仆人的仆人。
We're all the servants.
我们全都是仆人。
We're all serving somewhere or other. Everyone is serving.
实际上，每个人都在服务别人。
This is the dharma or the dharma, the nature of every living entity to serve.
这就是每一个生物体它永恒的职责 dharma.
You get a job, you have to serve.
你工作，你必须要去服务。
And the man who has the company, he's got workers, but he has to serve to keep the company alive, to keep the company going, to pay the workers.
即使是一个人，他有了公司，但他手下有了那么多的工人，但是他必须要去维系所有的这些工人和这个公司。
People.
所以他要去服务他们。
People get married and have children.
人们结了婚，有孩子。
Because they want, because and when they have children, they have to serve.
所以当他们生了当他们有孩子的时候必须要服务孩子
I have to take care, so much care of the child.
他们非常照顾孩子必须得非常照顾孩子
why are you doing all of this service?
为什么我们要做所有这些活所有这些服务呢
Because we want to enjoy.
因为我们想要享受
We want to be the Purusha.
因为我们想要成为 Purusha.
This is the cause of our entanglement in the material world.
所以这就是我们被束缚在这个物质世界里的原因。
So the Mayavadis, their idea about this is that they're not servant of God, but they're God.
Mayavadi 他们是这样想的，他们不是，他们认为自己不是神的仆人，认为自己是神。
Their idea of liberation is to become God.
他们关于解脱的理解是他们要成为神。
But for a devotee, we say no, we're not God, we're a sample God.
那我们但是奉献者说我们不是神，我们是神的翻版。
We're a tiny little God.
我们是小小渺小的。
One in quality, different in quantity.
那么是跟神有着一样的，有着相同的品质，但是在量上跟人不一样。
But it is Krishna. It is we are not the supreme controller.
我们不是至尊控制者。
We may be Ishvara in our home.
可能我们在家里是 Ishvara 控制者。
But Krishna is Param Ishvara.
但是 Krishna 是 Param Ishvara 至尊控制者。
We are not the supreme controller.
我们不是至尊控制者。
We are Brahman.
我们是 Brahman.
Yeah, we can say Aham Brahman. Aham Brahmasmi. I am Brahman.
我们可以说 Aham Brahmasmi. 我们是 Brahman.
But we are not the supreme Brahman.
但是我们不是至尊 Brahman.
We have to understand the distinction between the Brahman and the supreme Brahman.
我们必须要理解 Brahman 和至尊 Brahman 之间的分别。
So this is the difference between the living entity and the supreme.
所以这就是个体灵魂和超灵之间的区别。
Krishna can do anything he wants.
Krishna 他想怎么做，他就能够怎么做。
And he's in our heart. He also sanctions what we do.
他就在我们的心中，他知道我们要做的一切。
He gives us free will.
他给予我们自由意志。
Just like the father can try to control the son.
就像是父亲他能够控制孩控制儿子一样。
But at a certain point, the father has to give independence to the son.
但是在某种程度上呢，父亲会给孩子自由意志、独立性。
In the same way, Krishna is in the heart as a super soul, and he is instructing.
那么就同样的 ，Krishna 他以超灵做居在我们居居在我们的心中，给予我们指导。
But the living entity has free will to accept or not to accept.
但是个体灵魂它有自由意志，接受或拒绝。
When he accepts the direction of the super soul, then he makes advancement. That's knowledge, real knowledge.
当个体灵魂接受超灵的指导，它这就是真正的知识。
But when he rejects, then that this is ignorance.
但是如果他拒绝超人的指导的话，那么他就在愚昧之中。
And this is the cause of his entanglement in the material world.
一旦他堕入愚昧当中，他就被束缚在这个物质世界里。
Just like the example, two birds in a tree.
就像是一个树上的两只鸟一样，这个例子。
One bird is eating the fruit, the other bird is watching.
一只鸟呢在啄食树上的食物，另一只鸟在看着它。
Then text 23.
第二十三十节，但在这个躯体中还有另一个，还有另一超然的享受者，他就是主，至尊无上的拥有者，以监察者和准许者的身份存在，被称为超灵。
So we get direction from the Lord in the heart.
所以我们在内心从主那里得到指导。
We have all had experience.How Krishna acts in our heart.
我们都有这样的体验吗 ？Krishna 怎么样在内心询问我们
？Sometimes devotees are inspired to write.
有的时候奉献者呢被激励的去写作。
Sometimes devotees are inspired to speak.
有些时候奉献者被激励的去讲去演说。
Sometimes devotees are inspired by Krishna from the heart.To donate money to build some temple.
有的时候呢，奉献者呢，在内心被 Krishna 激励的去做捐款建庙。
We get instruction one from the heart, and we can get instruction externally from the scriptures like Bhagavad Gita.
那么一个呢，就内心，我们可以在从内心得到主的这种指导。那么从外在呢，我们可以从《薄伽梵歌》等这样的经典里得到指导。
We have seen different devotees, different experiences.
所以我们看到了不同，有许多许许多多的奉献者有这样的经验。
Prabhupada got that instruction from Krishna, he had to go and preach.
Prabhupada 他的内心得到了 Krishna 的指示，他去传教。
When he had his heart attack on the boat going to America,
当时的 Prabhupada 坐着船去美国的时候，他在船上犯了心脏病。
He saw Krishna rowing the boat.
然后他在那个船上呢，他就看到了他在。船上的时候，他看到了 Krishna。
And Krishna was telling him, "Don't worry, I'm going to make all arrangements."
然后 Krishna 就告诉他说，不要担心，我已经做了所有的安排。
So many different devotees get direction from Krishna.
所以许许多多的奉献者，他们从 Krishna 那里得到指导。
Or sometimes Krishna's devotee comes to them in a dream.
所以有的时候呢，
A devotee comes in the dream.
有的时候呢，奉献者也进入那个梦中。
Krishna Das Kaviraj.
Krishna Das Kaviraj.
He wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
他写了 Chaitanya Charitamrita 永恒的主 Chaitanya 经。
But he was living with his brother.
但是呢，他和他的哥哥、他的兄弟住在一起。
And his brother was not a devotee.
而他的兄弟呢，不是一个奉献者。
Well, he had devotion for Lord Chaitanya.
但是呢，他却对主怀着奉爱。
But no faith in Lord Nityananda.
但是他的哥，他的兄弟呢，对尼天南达，主尼天南达没有任何的信心。
So on one occasion, a great devotee of Lord Nityananda named Mini Ketana Ramdas.
有一次，有一个主，有一次主尼天南达的一个奉献者叫 Midya.
Mini Ketana Ramdas.
Mini Ketana Ramdas 这个奉献者去到他们那里。
Yeah, and the brother of Krishna Das Kaviraj was not nice to him.
但是呢 ，Krishna Das Kaviraj 的兄弟呢，对这个奉献者无礼，没有很好的对待他。
He did not receive him respectfully.
他没有很尊敬，很恭敬的去接待他。
Mini Ketana Ramdas was a very advanced, elevated devotee, a great devotee of Lord Nityananda.
Mini Ketana Ramdas, 他是主尼天南达非常崇高的奉献者。
He was always in love of God.
他总是爱着神。
His eyes were always full of tears.
他的眼睛里总是充满着泪水。
And he always played the carried a flute. He was a cowherd boy. He had a flute. He would always bring his flute with him as a cowherd boy.
然后他总是手里拿着笛子，就是一个牧牛童的笛子。
Yeah, Lord Nityananda's associates were all cowherd boys.
主尼天南达的同游全都是牧牛童。
So, when the brother of Krishna Das Kaviraj offended,
所以呢，当这个 Krishna Das Kaviraj 的兄弟做这样的冒犯的时候
，Then Mini Ketana Ramdas said, "Ha, here I see the second Roma Harshan Sutta."
然后接着呢，
Here I see the second Roma Harshan Sutta.
I forgot the name of the Nityananda's name.
In the forest of Naimisharanya.
那么他是在那个 Naimisharanya 森林，讲述博迦瓦坛。
And Lord Balaram came in.
那主巴拉拉玛来了。
And everyone stood up to respect Lord Balaram.
那每个人立刻站起来向主巴拉拉玛敬意。
Except Roma Harshan Sutta.
除了 Roma Harshan Sutta 之外。
So Lord Balaram was offended. Was not happy.
主巴拉拉玛呢特别不高兴。
He took a blade, he cut a piece of kusa grass, stuck it in his heart.
然后呢，主巴拉拉玛立刻拿起一片草，把那个 Ramahamsa Sutta 就杀死了。Kusa 草，就把这个 Ramahamsa Sutta 杀死了。
So Mini Ketana Ramdas was eventually after some time he left the home of.
然后呢 ，Mini Ketana Ramdas 他就离开了，Krishna Das Kaviraj 他的家。
But he left it in an unhappy mood.
但是呢，他离开的时候心里特别不高兴。
So his brother Krishna Das Kaviraj told him, he said, You have made a great offense. You have offended the great devotee.
然后呢 ，Krishna Das Kaviraj 就对他的兄弟说：“你冒犯了一个伟大的奉献者。
”Your life is ruined.
那么你这一生就毁了。
That night, Krishna Das Kaviraj had a dream.
那天晚上 ，Krishna Das Kaviraj 就做了一个梦。
And in his dream, Lord Nityananda came to him.
然后在他的梦中呢，主尼天南达出现了。
And Lord Nityananda told him, immediately leave home.
然后主尼天南达说：“立刻离开这里，离开你的家。
”Get out of this house.
立刻从这个家出去。
Go to Vrindavan. There you will obtain everything.
去文达文，在那里你会得到一切。
So without waiting for the sun to rise.
所以 Krishna Das Kaviraj 还没有等到太阳升起的时候。
Immediately he got up from bed.
做完梦以后他立刻起来就离开了这里
And he never came back again.
他再也没有回到那个家了
He went to Vrindavan.
他直接去到了 Vrindavan.
And there in Vrindavan he got the shelter of the Goswamis.
在那里他求庇了六 Goswami.
And there he heard the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from the mouth of Jiva Goswami.
在那里他从 Jiva Goswami 的口中聆听到了关于主 Chaitanya 的荣耀
And he could associate and serve Rupa and Sanatan.
然后呢他能够直接的去服务 Rupa Goswami 和 Sanatan Goswami.
There he got the darshan of Madan Mohan, Govinda and Gopinath.
在那里他看到了 Madan Mohan, Govinda, Gopinath 的神像
And they blessed him to write the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
然后这些神像就祝福他们祝福他去写关于主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的逍遥时光
And we are relishing these same glories in the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
现在呢，我们能够从 Chaitanya Charitamrita 永恒的主 Chaitanya 经当中去静静的品味到关于主 Chaitanya 的逍遥时光。
The Lord came in his dream and instructed him.
所以主呢，去进入了他的梦中，并且给他训示。
He took the instruction very serious.
他非常的认真的去执行了主的训示。
And he got perfection.
所以最后他得到了完美。
We should all pray that we can also be inspired by the Lord.
我们也可以祈祷，我们受到主的这种激励。
That we can chant His holy name.
我们能够唱诵他的圣名。
That we can surrender our lives to His service.
我们能够将我们这一生都去做为他服务，臣服于他。
We can be guided from the heart.
我们可以从内心得到这种指导
and we can be guided also from the scriptures and from the other devotees
我们也可以从经典里从其他奉献者那里得到这种指导
but we should be guided properly
但是呢我们必须要得到正确的指导
sometimes people say Krishna told me from the heart I can eat meat
有的时候人这样说我在内心得到了指示我可以得到了 Krishna 的指示我可以吃肉
Krishna told me from the heart it's alright for me to smoke
Krishna 在内心只告诉我了我可以抽烟有的人这么说
We have to be truthful and honest
我们必须要说真话我们必须要真诚
We have to examine everything on the basis of purity and knowledge
我们必须要去要得到纯净得到知识
is what they are saying in accordance with the scriptures
难道他们的说法是不是跟经典相一致的呢
is it the absolute truth
他们说的是不是关于绝对真理呢
then we can understand if we are actually getting the direction correct from the heart
这样呢通过这样呢我们就可以去认识到这是不是真的是从内心得到了恰当的这种指导
Krishna is in everyone's heart
Krishna 在每个人的心中
He is the ability of every person
他知道每一个人的能力
But he inspires everyone according to their own desire
但是呢 Krishna 他是根据每个人的愿望去给予他们这种激励和指导
For the pure devotees he guides them toSurrender and serve him with more love and devotion.
对于纯粹奉献者来说 ，Krishna 就 激励他们为主做纯粹的奉献服务，为他们怀着这种满心怀着这种份爱为主做服务。
And for those who want to enjoy the material world, Krishna allows them to forget the laws of nature.
那么对于那些想享受这个物质世界的人来说呢， Krishna 就给他们让他们忘记了这个去服务神。
So Krishna is described in this verse.
所以 Krishna 在这一诗节里讲述到。
He is described as the overseer and the permitter.
他在这里说到了，他是监督者、监察者和准许者。
Upajasta and Anumata.
Upajasta 和 Anumata.
Yeah, overseer and permitter.
那既是监督者，又是准许者。
Just like sometimes you're working in a job and there will be the foreman, you know, the supervisor. He's watching everyone to see who's working, who's not working.
Oh, 就像是在那个工作的时候，有这种监察员，他会去看监督谁在工作，谁没在工作。
He can see who's working hard, who's not working hard.
他可以看到谁在努力的工作，谁在偷懒。
Somebody wants to take the day off or take go and have a rest, and they have to get permission from the person and the supervisor.
有的人呢，他们就是想，就是不想从监督者那里得到允许，就想去偷懒，就半天不干活。
I remember one time when I was a student, we got a summer holiday. I found a job in the biscuit factory.
就是在我有一个例子，我原来是一个学生的时候。那么那个时候呢，放假我就在一家餐馆里得到了一份饼干厂里得到一份工作。
You know, in those days, nothing was mechanical; it was all done by hand. You know?
你知道，在那个年代是没有什么机械的，都是手工的。
We had to put the biscuits in the tin, you know.
要把这些饼干呢放在那个盒子里包装起来。
Yeah, and the biscuits are all coming, and you have to.
那这些饼干呢，都源源不断的来，你必须要不停的打包，不停的打包。
And the one man, he stands and watches everybody, make sure everybody works.
然后呢，有一个人就在旁边监督着，每一个人都得使劲的干活。
So you know, there's Krishna is like that. He's a super soul. He's overseeing. He's watching.
所以呢 ，Krishna 就像这样的，他是超灵。他监督每一个人，他也准许每一个人做。
Just like the supervisor say, okay, start, and then say, okay, stop work. Start.
然后就像是监督员一样，好，你们现在开始干活了，好，现在停工了，不干了。
So Krishna is the overseer, the super soul.
所以 Krishna 在这里就是被称为超灵，他是监督者。
So we see also here in this verse it's mentioned that there's another. There's not only one soul. There's another soul, the super soul.
而且我们可以在这一世界里可以看到，里面说到了，在这个躯体里面还有不仅仅是一个个体灵魂，还有另外一个超然的享受者，另外一个灵魂。
Krishna has been describing about the living entity, but now we're hearing about how the super soul is also there interacting with the.
刚才讲述了关于个体灵魂，在这里呢 ，Krishna 讲述了他怎么样是以超灵也存在于这个身体当中。
So then, text 24, 25, and 26 describe the benefits or the result of this knowledge.
那么第二十四、二十五、二十六世节呢，就是讲述了一旦有了这种知识的结果是什么，他从这样的知识里面会得到什么样的益处。
Yeah. We see 24, it says, we will not take a birth again.
在这里二十四世节说，我们不再投生了，不会再次投生。
This is to be desired. We want to get out from this material world.
这才是应该我们想要欲求的， 要从这个物质世界里掏脱出来。
In text 25, Krishna mentions that there are other processes.
在二十五世节里 ，Krishna 提到了有其他的程序。
Some do it by through meditation.
有些人是通过冥想。
Like Ashtanga Yoga.
就像 Ashtanga Yoga 八步瑜伽。
And other people, they're doing it by the cultivation of knowledge.
还有一些呢是通过培养知识。
Like Sankhya Yoga is taught by Lord Kapila.
就像是 Sankhya Yoga 是主卡皮拉说的 Sankhya Yoga.
And then fruit without fruit of work, through working without fruit of desires, this is nice karma yoga.
那么这里又说到了通过不带功利性欲望的工作，这被称为 nice karma, nice karma yoga.
These things, these three processes, Sankhya Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, and Karma Yoga, they're all taught in the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita.
所以呢，在这里呢，在《博伽梵歌》里面都谈到了关于 Ashtanga Yoga, Karma Yoga, 还有 Gyana Yoga. Sankhya Yoga.Sankhya Yoga 这三个事情都谈论到了。
So, this is it. We're going to stop here. We'll ask if there are any questions about this.
你现在就讲到这里，大家有什么问题可以提问。
There are many inconceivable things in this universe.
在这个物质世界里有很多不可思议的事情。
Don't try to understand with our material senses.
所以呢，不要试图通过我们物质的感官去了解这些，去明白这些。
We cannot understand even things on this planet.
我们甚至在这个关于这个地球上的一些事情，我们都不明白。
We will never understand everything about.
所以呢，我们肯定是无法了解这个关于这个物质世界、这个宇宙当中的这一切事情。
But understand the try to know more about the person behind.
但是呢，我们应该去努力的去明白这个宇宙背后的那个人。
The creator.
关于创造者，就是那个创造者，应该努力的去了解创造者。
因为昨天我
吃
的那个。这个
世界，第《国家瓦坛》第三篇第十章十二世纪，译文：这个宇宙展示及着时间 Kala 以物质能量的形式和至尊主隔离。Kala 是主未展示的非人格的特点。宇宙在 Vishnu 同一个物质能量的影响下，以主的客观展示居处。
Yeah, so that indicates that unmanifested is kala.
那么这里讲的是，未展示的形象 kala 时间。
是我们一直不明白什么叫未展示，可是这个世界可能是不是回答了我们那个问题。
Oh, yesterday he asked you a question about unmanifest. So this verse answers that question.
Yeah.
是。
Yeah, we can see it like that.
可以这样。
时间不是永恒的吗？
啊？
时间不是永恒的吗？
Time is eternal. isn't it? Time.
Yeah.
He said, time is eternal. So why there is a manifest? Because time is eternal.
Material nature is also eternal.
物质自然也是永恒的。永恒的。
Material nature is eternal.
物质自然是永恒的。
We were explaining today the material nature is eternal.
我们今天讲了物质自然是永恒的。
Time is also eternal.
时间也是永恒的。
是永恒的，我们知道时间永恒的，为什么还有一个时间作用物展示？
你说时间是未展示的形象是吗？yeah. This mentioned in this verse mentioned the color is the feature of loss unmanifest and impersonal.
Yeah.
It's loss. Yeah.
Yeah. Time is unmanifest. You can't see time, but we see the effects of time.
我们看不到时间这个东西。但是我们能够看到这个时间的这个过程，看得见哈。
We don't have an inch of time, right?
我们。
You don't have you cannot see.
啊呀，我们不看到寸光阴，这个寸光阴是什么样的？看不到。
Time is unmanifest.
所以时间是未展示的。
哦，
是啊，
这也是未展示。我们地方的人都不知道那个不展示为什么这时间是永恒的它不展示
What are the Lord's impersonal features?
Yeah.
The Brahmajyoti is his impersonal feature.
Brahmajyoti 就是 Krishna 的非人格特征的展示。
No, the all-pervading light.
就是所有的这些，它放射出了，它源出了所有的光。
It comes from his form.
所有的光都是从他那里来的。
现在我想问，就物质能量是永恒的，它和物质自然的区别，就是是不是就是它的展示，物质能量的展示就是物质自然？
啊，什么？物质能量和物质展示之间的分别？
物
质自然
是永恒的
啊，
不用讲，物质自然也是永恒的，但是它的区别是不是就是物质能量的展示就是物质自然啊？
啊，物质能量的展示。What's the difference between the material energy and the material nature? That say that material nature is manifestation of material energy.
Yeah.
是啊。
Maybe we can say that material nature, material energy. That's the same. Material nature is material. Yeah. That's the manifestation of material energy.
是物质自然是物质能量的展示，
都是永恒的，
都是一样的，
都是永恒的。
那么美国登月是上了一场骗局吗？
是欺骗人的登月。
Yeah.
是。
我这个 Krishna 的这个外在的。
No, Buddha is 是永恒的。
是永恒的，外在能量。
外在形象，外在形象。
外在形象。
宇宙形象。
Universal form is eternal or not?
No, it's not eternal.
宇宙形象不是永恒的。
The Krishna manifests a form. He described as a temporary material form.
他是 Krishna 描述了，这是Krishna 的物质的短暂的形体，短暂的物质形体。Krishna 的短暂的物质形体，有的时候它是展示的。
But it's not an eternal form.
但是它不是永恒的形体。
That's why the impersonalists like to worship the impersonal form.
这就是为什么那些非
to worship the universal form.
这就是为什么那些非人格主义者他们喜欢崇拜宇宙形体。
Because they know it's not eternal.
因为他们知道宇宙形体不是永恒的。
And they say ultimately there's no form.
所以呢，那最终来说就没有形体了。这是非人格主义者的认为。
So that they want this nothingness. They want this void.
所以他们喜欢虚无，非人格主义者喜欢虚无。
So they will be attracted to the impersonal form, to the universal form.
所以呢，他们就受到宇宙形体的吸引，受到非人格形体的吸引。
But devotee is not attracted to the universal.
但是奉献者不受宇宙形体的吸引。
Devotee is attracted to the personal form.
奉献者他受到人格形体的吸引。
是什么？你不懂啊？
我就是从字面上理解，能觉得众生的黑夜就是众生呢，他当他们感到迷茫困惑的时候，那自律者，就是清醒的时候，这我明白，他们知道这是谁。当众生睡醒的时候，是不是就是现今物质主义泛滥的今天？那么对于自律者，是就是说，但是我觉得这个黑夜跟第一个黑夜不应该不是迷茫的。
So what's the second part? The second part also mentioned the darkness, the night. So the night, the second night is the as same as the first night?
No.
这个第二个黑夜跟第一个黑夜是不一样的。
What is night for all beings is a time of awakening.
众生的黑夜正是自律者清醒的时刻。
Just like devotees, we like to wake up early in the morning.
就像是奉献者，他们喜欢早起，每天清晨就早起了。
You know, our morning is a time when we wake up, we feel eager to do our puja, to do our chanting.
所以奉献者早起，一早上起来的时候，他们就是渴望的去做puja崇拜。
But materialistic people, they're all asleep.
但是那些物质主义者呢，他们还在昏昏大睡。
And they wake up.
当他们醒来的时候。
For the night.
他已经是晚上了。
They go and work in the. They go to the bar. They go to the julebu.
他们就去那些俱乐部酒吧。
Yeah.
晚上。
You know, this is the time when they come alive in the night.
所以呢，他们就是黑白颠倒，晚上就是他们的白天。
Go to the bar. Go to the club.
然后他们晚上就去到那些俱乐部，去到酒吧。
And they will work till early in the morning.
然后呢，他们就是一直睡到早上，就昏昏大睡。
Then go home.
就是一直到早上，早上的时候，第二天早上的时候，他们才回家。
And go to sleep.
然后接着就昏昏大睡，开始睡觉。
So their day is like our night.
所以呢，像那些物质主义者，他们的白天就像是我们的黑夜。
And their night is like our day.
他们的黑夜呢，就像我们的白天。
They like the night life.
他们喜欢夜生活。
We like the early morning.
但是呢，奉献者喜欢早起，做他们的节目。
We see things differently. We see the things in the opposite way from them.
所以呢，我们从他们身上看到了相反的东西，他们就是黑白颠倒。
The early morning, there's a prominence of the mode of goodness.
在早上一清早的时候，是属于善良形态之中。
And late in the night, the mode of ignorance is very strong.
那在晚上的时候，这个愚昧的形态就更严重，就是更显著了。
So for the materialistic people, they are very happy in the mode of ignorance.
所以呢，对于物质主义来说，他们处在愚昧当中，他们是一种幸福。
是神训经，就是主讲的，它是原，它是完美的。那但是就是在我们的这个就是哲学辩论哈、啊，他们互相之间就说那种辩论，那么就说存在于什么呀？为什么要辩论呢？如果当我们接受经典的时候，它是完美的时候，应该就是它为什么会有，就是它辩论的时候肯定是有疑惑。
Well, no, you can explain the Bhagavad Gita according to the interpretations of the different acharyas.
我们可以通过不同的 acharya 那些先前的灵性导师他们的那些论述当中去解释《博迦梵歌》。
On the basis of scripture, we can explain the Bhagavad Gita.
就是当我们基于经典，我们可以去解释《博迦梵歌》，基于经典。
You know, Prabhupada has expanded the Bhagavad Gita. He's given a lot of purports.
就像在这里上，帕帕给这个《博迦梵歌》给出了大量的要旨。
But he has explained it according to the understandings of the previous teachers and the acharyas.
但是他写的这些要旨呢，都是基于先前的那些 acharya 们他们的理解和他们的这个观点。
According to the teaching of the philosophy he learned from his own teacher.
所以他是根据这个哲学的教导，他从他的灵性导师那里去学习。
And he's applying it to the teaching of the Bhagavad Gita.
而且呢，他运用了《博迦梵歌》的教导，运用了。
So there's no fault in that. That is the proper manner to understand scripture.
所以呢，这样的方式是没有错误的，这是恰当的理解梵歌的恰当的方式。
Just like Krishna, we saw how in that text 5 of the 17th chapter, Lord Krishna was saying that this knowledge of the body and the nor of the body, nor of the field of activities, is explained by various sages.
就像是 Krishna 在《博迦梵歌》的十三章，第十三章的第十五
第五
第五世界里面解释了说。这个关于场和活动场的知悉者的知识都被先前的 Acharya 们圣人们所解释了，而且被经典里所解释了。
Yeah, also it's explained in Vedanta Sutra.
而且这关于这些的知识也在 Vedanta Sutra 里面得以解释了。
So Krishna explains according to their understanding.
所以呢 Krishna 呢他是根据这些经典先前的圣人他们的理解去解释的。
No contradiction.
是这之间是没有矛盾的。
是不是会我们认识经典的那个层面是不同的，它会发生辩论
？Because we on the different level, so they have philosophical disputing.
Yeah, well, different teachers, different acharyas, they interpret the thing in different ways.
所以当然了，有不同的 acharya, 不同的老师，他们以不同的方式去解释。
Even devotees in the you know, like Jiva Goswami sometimes is different from Vishwanath Chakravarti.
就像是 Jiva Goswami 他解释的方，他以不同的方式解，他的解释方式跟那个 Vishwanath Chakravarti 他解释的方式是不一样的。
They're in the same line in the same disciplic succession, but they have different understanding.
但虽然他们两个人都在同一个使徒传习当中，但是他们的这种就是这种理解的方式有所不一样。
So transcendental difference.
所以这就是超然的不同之处。
We shouldn't think that everybody will always have exactly the same opinion.
但是我们不应该认为每一个人都有一模一样的意见。
Okay. Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki
Jai.